Some of you may have seen a video that went viral named Look Up. I want us to watch just a tad of that as a metaphor for what Paul is saying in Colossians this morning. So pay close attention. Take a look.
So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest, and the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold, and the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention, and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed, you tell her that you love her, play a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way.
Comes back to haunt him, doesn't it? So, I like the way N.T. Wright translated our passage in Colossians this morning. He said, "So if you were raised to life with the King, search for the things that are above, where the King is seated at God's right hand. Think about the things that are above, not the things that belong on this earth. Don't you see? You have died and your life has been hidden with the King in God. When the King is revealed, and he is your life, remember, then you too will be revealed with him in glory." There are two verbs that are really important in the passage that we have from Paul today. And the way that N.T. Wright put it, the first one is search. Search. It has to do with our very practical Christian pursuit. It has to do with our keeping seeking, our ability to make a determined effort to focus on God and the heavenly realities that are revealed in Christ. Search. Pursue it. Because Christian followers are to be different. We're to be different in our aims. We're to be different in our motivations. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes when I'm working at home and grading papers or getting ready for a class, about 10:45, I need a break. So I come down, make some tea, put a Pop-Tart in the toaster, and turn on The Price is Right. Because I like to watch them spin the wheel and come to the showcase. And I guess the reason is because it amazes me how crazy people can go about winning some luggage or a vacation or a new car. And just once, I would love it if people would jump up and down when they hear that they get to teach the children at church, or they get to be faithful to their spouse, or they get to participate in feeding the hungry at a soup kitchen, or they get to be an advocate for the marginalized. Wouldn't it be nice to see them jump up and down to win that prize? Yeah, search for the things that are above. Pursue them, because we Christians are differently motivated. We have different aims in life. And the other verb that he uses, the way Wright translates it, think about this. The pursuit is kind of active, but this has more to do with our inner disposition. It has to do with the fact that our mind is supposed to be controlled by the king's business. We're supposed to give it first priority. I mean, that's what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount that we read this morning. Seek, desire, strive for the kingdom of God and God's justice. And by the way, that word in Greek that we translate righteousness is justice. In fact, in Spanish Bibles, that's the way it's translated. We're to take our eyes off of ourselves insofar as we're controlled by some sort of selfish anxiety about the things that we need. And to look around for God's work in the world, to throw ourselves on the causes and concerns of God. By the way, I think that's what it means to be a seeker church. Jesus said, I came to seek and serve the lost. We're to be the seekers. We're not to wait for the seekers to come to us because they're lost. We're to be the seekers, and a seeker church is missional. It goes out and throws itself on the causes and concerns of God. Now notice that Jesus didn't command us not to be anxious for or praying for what others might need to eat and to wear. In fact, that might be part of what it means to put God's kingdom and God's justice first. And nor is he telling us to just back off and be spectators. I mean, think about it. Sparrows are very, very busy birds. But he doesn't want us to get obsessed with what we need. He wants us to be outward looking. Now, why do we make a determined effort to keep our focus on God's agenda? Why give first priority to the king's business? Why search for opportunities to throw ourselves on the causes and concerns of God? Well, first, because Paul says it's a fact that we have already died with Christ and we have been raised with Christ. We've been raised to new life with the king already. And so we search for what is above. We search for what for the king is seated at God's right hand. That's a place of honor. That's a place of power. It's already been established. It's a fact. To die with Christ and to be raised in new life with Jesus Christ is even the meaning of our baptism. We are identified with Christ's death and with his resurrection. It's a fact. But I want to ask you the question this morning that I had to ask myself while I was reading and studying this passage. Really? It doesn't feel like a fact most of the time. It doesn't always feel like I've passed from death to life and been raised with Christ to a new way of living. And it doesn't feel like that all the time because there's something else we need to remember. We live in between the times. We live in between the times. We live in between the already of Christ's resurrection, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and the time when Jesus will come and make the kingdom fulfilled, when God will show us the kingdom in its fullness. And that's important to remember. Maybe it's like the measles vaccination we've been hearing about. You have to have a first shot, but that apparently only gives you 93% of the vaccine against measles. You have to go for a booster shot, apparently, to get it all. I don't know, because I had the measles back in the, well, last millennium. But now sin and death, yeah, they're a reality in our lives. They are present. Their power's been broken, but they are still there. And we are waiting for the booster shot of Christ appearing. When In his second appearing, we won't just get rid of measles. We'll get rid of completely death, sin, every disease, all of it. And God's kingdom will come in its fullness. And so we live in between a time, as one person put it, between the D-Day of World War II and the V-Day of World War II. We live in between the time when we landed on the beaches of Normandy and finally knew who was going to win the war and when it actually took place that the victory was secure. We know who's going to win the war. Jesus Christ won that battle on the cross. But there's still a lot of battles to fight in between until the war is over. And I think that's what Paul is saying in verses 3 and 4 of our text this morning. Our lives are hidden with Christ right now. But someday, when Christ appears, what he's done and what is going to be a reality for our lives and already being a reality for our lives will come to fulfillment. And then we too, with the King, will be revealed in all of God's glory. So we look for that. We wait for it. So we, in the meantime, we keep pursuing the King's business. We keep seeking his kingdom and his justice. We keep praying down, as we will today in the Lord's Prayer, we keep praying down the kingdom to be a real reality on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done here as it's already been established in heaven. And I think that helps us clarify maybe a little bit what Paul is really saying by setting your minds on that which is above and not on the things on the earth. When Paul speaks of the above, he's talking about what is ultimately essential in life. And when he talks about what is below, he's talking about the things of this earth that are trivial, that are self-centered, that are consumer-oriented in our mentality, that places too much value on the stuff that rusts and rots and can be stolen. But the kind of mentality that says, even though it all goes away, I still want the new and improved. You know, I want the iPhone 6, and pretty soon you'll want the 7 and the 8. That mentality. The mentality that hopes that there is a U-Haul being pulled behind your hearse at the funeral. That's what it means to have your mind on what is on earth, what is below. The way Jesus is describing it, the religion from below is the church of acquisition, and its God is mammon. And Jesus says, I don't want you to be a devotee of that religion. But still, just to clarify, because we need to say this, Jesus isn't telling us to be unconcerned about the world, right? I mean, Paul is not saying that this God-created material world doesn't matter. Life on this earth is not evil in itself. We need to make that clear. In fact, it is this world that God is in the process of redeeming. The creation cries out for its redemption, says Paul in Romans 8. And it is our baptismal water and the bread and the wine that we will consume today that remind us that it's this material stuff that God is in the process of reclaiming and redeeming. God, who became flesh, keeps us from thinking that this material stuff is our enemy. It's not the stuff. It's the mentality about the stuff. And we have to nuance that don't worry part too. You know, don't worry about what you will wear and what you will eat. Because if we're not careful, it does make it sound like Jesus doesn't care about the poor, or that we don't have to care about those things. Or we who are privileged, you know, yeah, sure, we don't care about them. Because Jesus did care to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and heal the sick. So we need to be clear what it means to have your mind on what is above and not on the things of this earth. Don't be obsessed with what is passing away in such a way that it consumes your life. But not only do we pursue the King's business because we've been raised to new life with the King, And because we were commanded to seek his kingdom and justice while we live in this in-between time, but we also have our minds on things that are above because we become what we set our minds on. We become what we set our minds on. We are shaped into certain kinds of persons by the focus of our attention. There's a medieval story of a sleazy young man who fell in love with a saintly young woman. He knew that she wouldn't give him a second thought, so he slipped into the vault of the town's cathedral, put on one of the masks of the saints that were used in the town's festival, took on the appearance and behavior of a saint, and began to court this saintly young woman. And over time, she actually began to fall in love with him. And as the relationship grew deeper, the young man's unsavory friends became kind of envious. And so they challenged him in the center of the town square and in front of this saintly young woman who had grown to love him. They challenged him, "Take off the mask and reveal who you really are." He couldn't refuse. He was caught. And he assumed everything is lost. So he slowly removed the mask and revealed that his face had become the face of the saint. We become what we set our minds on. We become what we give ourselves to. And the question this morning is, what kind of person do you want to become? A lot depends on what you pursue in this life. There's no neutrality here. All of us are thinking about something. All of us are aiming at something. And the way that we think is intimately related to the way we live. What we give our minds to has everything to do with the overall direction of our lives. Dwelling on the kingdom of Christ, dwelling on what is ultimately essential, what God is up to in redeeming his world, dwelling on that will determine how you and I are going to live in this present world. And one final point. I think it's helpful to substitute the word above with the word ahead. Set your minds on what is ahead. Set your minds on what is coming. Focus your vision on the future. Give yourself over to the realities of the kingdom that are coming in its fullness when Christ is revealed. Do this in such a way that those coming kingdom realities of God that will be revealed and established on V-Day are becoming a reality right now. Jacques Ellul, he was a French sociologist and theologian. He was actually an atheist Marxist who converted to the Christian faith. He wrote this, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "To be revolutionary is to judge the present world in the name of a truth which does not yet exist but which is coming. Because we believe that that truth is more genuine and more real than the reality which surrounds us. So it means bringing the future into the present as an explosive force. It means believing that future events are more important and more true than present events. It means understanding the present in the light of God's future. So the revolutionary act forms part of history. It actually is going to create history by inflecting it toward the future." He says, bringing these future kingdom realities into the present is the only force capable of throwing off the dead weight of social and political institutions which are gradually crushing the life out of our present civilization. To abandon this position would mean ceasing to believe that we have been saved. For we are saved by hope through faith, and hope is precisely this end-time force in the present world. What if we, church, could exhibit the future coming kingdom realities now before a watching world, so that the future comes into the present like a revolutionary explosive force? We could, if we dwell on that which is above, that which is ahead, that which is coming. I like what William Willimon said in response to Marcus Borg. Marcus Borg died, I think it was last week. He was in the Jesus seminar that questioned the words of Scripture, questioning whether Jesus actually even raised from the dead. And he asked Willimon, why do you need a bodily resurrected Christ? And Willimon said, I don't. I really feel like I've got control of the world. I've got it all together. I really don't want a resurrected Christ to interfere with my life. Being facetious in a loving way. Do we really want what's coming to invade our lives now? If so, it will be revolutionary. I began with N.T. Wright's take on this passage in Colossians. Well, keep in mind the video lookup. I want to conclude with Eugene Peterson's take on this passage. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. So in the words of the opening video, the Apostle Paul and St. Matthew, don't give in to a life where you just follow the hype. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind, look up from the distractions of the techno-consumer society that will surround us as soon as we walk out of those back doors. Look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. See how your Father cares for them. Quit striving for what is below, but strive for the King's agenda. Pay close attention to what God is up to in your life and in the lives of those you encounter every day. And then you will have treasures laid up in heaven to be revealed when Christ, who is your life, is revealed in glory. That, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Amen.